Okay, so today we're going to carry on with a series I started. I entitled it Core Values. It's as we've been praying and putting together the vision of the church. And yesterday we had our first basics, which is an introduction to Gateway, a presentation of what the vision is and what's in our hearts. Really a chat, an opportunity to ask for people to ask questions, as many questions as they want. I think it was good. So the idea is for the whole church to go through basics at some point, because we want to share with you what God has put in our hearts. And as new people come and join the family, we will also take them through basics so they get to know what we're all about and see how they fit, see how they can contribute to the vision, to what God is calling us to do. So inside the vision, there are some values that I believe God has been revealing as we go along. And I spoke last time, the very first value, not necessarily in order of importance, but I spoke about being witnesses. I sort of tried to not to use the word outreach. There's nothing wrong with outreach, but I wanted to focus on being witnesses as a more natural thing, as something that just flows out of who we are and relationships and things like that, as an opportunity to tell people, show and tell, God's love. So today we're talking about readiness to serve. Yes, it's right there. So if you read your e-bulletin, I have not been creative in terms of my intro is the very same one as the previous, as the first installment of this series. But I talk about how these values really shape our thoughts, our ideas, and really shape who we are and reflect how really we live our lives, right? So if you want to find out what your core values are, your personal values, all you have to do is go through a moment of crisis. And then they will pop to the surface. You will know what matters most, okay? You will find out, okay, this is not so relevant. I could do with not focusing on this at the moment and holding on to the things that are really important. So this is what the core values are all about. So I am, with this message, with readiness to serve, or just service, really, my heart is not really to guilt you into serving or serving more. That's not what this message is about. Although we could do with people serving more and helping out more. We just talked about the, refreshments rota and setup rota and things like that. You know, that's what church is all about, isn't it? Is everyone involved and everyone helping with different things. But what I want to talk about is the fact that service is very much in God's heart, and He has shared His DNA with us. So that means we can't help but serve. I couldn't help but lose my hair. I inherited that from my dad, who inherited that from his dad. It's a long line of baldies in the family. So that just happened naturally. I didn't have to pull them out. They just, gravity took control. But the truth is, with the new covenant, with the fact that Jesus came and died for us, and He torn the veil open so that we could enter into this new covenant with Him, with the Father, what happened is that the law that was written on tablets of stone were transferred from those tablets into our hearts. So God inserted in us His DNA. Yeah? So God is a God who serves, who loves to serve, He's given that to us as well. Now, in Hebrews 10, this is an amazing chapter. We have an outline there of the new covenant in Hebrews 10. But in this new covenant, we find privileges as well as responsibilities, right? In the very beginning, well, not in the very beginning of the chapter, but in verse 19, we have a privilege here saying that because of the blood of Jesus, we have confidence to enter the Holy of Holies. Through the blood, although we don't deserve it. If it weren't because of the blood, we wouldn't survive. But because of his blood, we can enter, we can have intimacy with the Father. And in light of that, here comes the responsibility. The writer of Hebrews in verse 23, he says, "Let us consider how we stir up one another to love." Some versions say to acts of love, to good works, and to meeting together. So I want to stop there at love, because love has service written all over it. Yeah, our service needs to come out of love, and because God loves, he serves. John 3:16, how does that go again? You see the connection there? God so loved the world that he gave his best. So love has service, has giving all over it. And we give is an invitation to giving what's most precious to us. And I believe that the one thing that is most precious to all of us is time. Yeah? So the Father model is love demonstrated in practice as a sacrifice. Yeah, that's the Father model. He loves, so he gives sacrificially. Now, the Son's model is not very different, but Jesus' model we find in John 13. John chapter 13. This is just a few hours before Jesus was crucified. And what is he doing? He is washing his disciples' feet. So I want to invite you as we journey a little bit through chapter 13 together, not in very much detail because we don't have a lot of time, but I pray that God will stir us up as we go through it together now. And that he would just remind us that we're called to serve. Just as he washed his disciples' feet, we're called to wash each other's feet. Not out of guilt, not out of pressure, not out of having to tick a box, but out of a manifestation of this God-inherited DNA that you and I have been given. So I'm just going to read a few verses from John 13. If you have a Bible, you can follow. I don't have the verses on the wall, but the writing is always on the wall, if you know what I mean. So verse 1, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. Verses 4 and 5. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. Jumping to verse 12. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their masters, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. Amen. So the first verse in John 13 says that Jesus knew his hour had come. The reason why he came to earth, the whole reason the Father sent him. This is it. This is the time. Everything in Jesus' life had pointed to that moment. I'm thinking, we don't really know the hour, our hour, do we? We have no idea. But I was wondering if I knew, okay, I got 24 hours left. How am I going to live those 24 hours, my final 24 hours? Who am I going to spend them with? What am I going to say? What am I going to say? Who am I going to call? What am I going to do? I don't know. I can make plans, but I don't really know what I would do. But Jesus knew. He knew his hour had come. And throughout chapter 13, we see how he chose to spend his final hours. The people he chose to spend his final hours with him, with the things that he said and the things that he did. If we carry on in verse 1, we read that he loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and he loved them until the end. He's not only speaking about to the end in terms of time coming to an end, but also with regards to intensity. He just loved them so much. Now, knowing that his terrible sufferings were about to begin, he didn't wallow in his imminent demise like I would. Probably. He didn't do that. He loved those guys he would spend time with. And he loved them with great intensity. Again, this love that we come across here in John 13 is that same love that the Father used in John 3:16, sacrificial love, love that gives. Now, verse 13 hits me head on. And it says, Jesus was fully aware that the Father had placed all things under his control. So he knew. He knew the time, and he was fully aware that the Father had given him all authority, all power. Matthew 28, this is Jesus giving out the Great Commission. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he says, go. So the word authority here is talking about both the right, the permission to do something, but also the might, the strength, the capability of doing it. I think that sometimes we may have the right, but we don't have the capability or the skill. Or sometimes we can do it. We know how to do it, but we don't have the permission. Yeah, like maybe driving without having a driver's license. Yeah? Sibeli, how old were you when you learned to drive? 12. Hopefully the authorities in Brazil will not be watching this video. She knew how to drive. Maybe when we were 13, 14, you already knew how to drive stick. Yeah? And but she didn't have the permission. She was not allowed. And this authority here that the Father has given to Jesus is both the right, the permission, the skill, the capability, the strength, all of that, not only on earth, but in heaven. And what did he do? What was his next move after that? Verse 4, he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped the towel around his waist. This is the servant's dress he put on. And it's interesting here that I was reading someone's commentary on this passage and in this particular verse, actually, and they were saying that this verb here, took off, is a very unusual verb to use in this passage when it comes to taking off clothes or garments. It's not the verse that you would usually use. This verb that was used refers to the taking, what's the word here I'm looking for? The laying down of his life. In John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life. I take off my life for my sheep. So that is the same verse. So in that taking off of his robe, Jesus was pointing to the fact that he is the one who lays down his life for the sheep. And then verse 5, we read, he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. Now, we know that back in that time, roads were dusty, sandals were the fashionable thing to wear, and tables were low. So we have here a combination of three things: dusty road, sandals, and low tables. So whenever they sat down to eat, not only did they wash their hands, but they had to wash their feet. And in households, in wealthier households, they always had servants. And actually, the lowest of all the servants was given the job to wash the feet. Not only the feet of the slave master or the owner or the head of the house, but the guests. And if someone really enjoyed having people over, come on, let's go. Yeah, come over for dinner. Just think about what's going on that, you know, servant's head. Oh, that amount of feet to wash. And I don't know what these guys stepped on. But anyway. So the sovereign, all-powerful God in the flesh does the job of the lowest servant. And this was actually no longer before his disciples discussed who is the greatest. Yeah? Jesus gives them an amazing example of service. And then Jesus asks them a question. Do you understand? Do you comprehend? Do you realize what I just did? And verse 17 says, now that you know these things, there's this thing about, yeah, ignorance is bliss. But Jesus says, now that you know these things, and we all know these things, don't we? God will bless you for doing them. In the Greek, the original, it says something along the lines of, if you know these things, you are fortunate when you do them. You're happy. You're joyful. Your joy is in doing that, is in practicing that. Want to have more joy in your life? Here is the secret of joy. There's a child's devotional thing that we used to do with the kids when they were younger, which was to do with the word joy being spelled out. I don't know if you remember, boys, the J stands for Jesus first, O, others second, and Y, yourself last. That is the secret of joy. Yeah, and that's what Jesus says here. Now that you know these things, God will bless you. You will be blessed. You will find joy. You will be fortunate when you put them in practice. It's interesting when we choose to turn the focus away from ourselves, from our problems, we find God's blessing when we focus on other. I think something else that is very important that service does is service kills pride. Do you want to get rid of pride in your life? Serve. Yeah? I think it was Clive Corfield. I've probably mentioned this before, down in St. Albans, I think, church. He's been to Gateway before a couple times, and he said something along the lines, if you're too big to serve, you're too small to lead. And that is so true. So I want to kill pride. Serve. Proverbs 16:5, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will go unpunished. James 4:6, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I want to grow. I think there's so much more for me to mature in God. And I find that the only way, one of the only ways for that to happen is when I choose to humble myself and to serve. When I see something that needs doing, I try not to wait for others to do it. I just try and do it. And it's interesting that if you have younger children, we know that it begins at home, right? The whole learning and teaching about service begins at home. And if we think about us as a family, yeah, it begins in the family. It begins in this setting, in this environment. That is our calling, to wash each other's feet. So you want to grow? Who wants to grow here? Look for opportunities to serve. Desire service. Yeah? And we have so many opportunities. Welcome team, refreshment team. When we finish here, we have to put the chairs back in their original place. I don't know who had the idea of moving them around like this. Oh, that's right. Michelle Walker, you've probably seen in the WhatsApp group, she had her operation yesterday, successful. Praise God for that. And she will need help. Yeah, people to cook, people to help. I don't know whatever other ways need helping, but there are ways that we can serve. Yeah? And not only here, right, but throughout the week. Yeah, we can use our phones. We can go really old school if you have a landline and call someone. And I feel prompted to serve, to help you with something. What can I do? So I want to finish by inviting you to pray an outrageous prayer. God, give me the desire to serve. How about we do that together? So if that registers with you, if you understand that it's your God-given DNA to express the heart of the Father, which is all about love, service, I want to invite you to pray with me. Yeah? If you can, would you mind standing with me, please? And just earlier today, I shared a little bit about the, Jesus knocking on the door of our hearts. If you think of your heart as a house or a mansion with many rooms, maybe there are some rooms there. There's the service room that the door's been closed, shut, locked. You don't know where the keys are. I want to encourage you to put your hand on your heart this morning as we pray together. Father, I thank you for your heart of service. Thank you that because you loved us so much, you gave your one and only Son to die for us. And Jesus, I thank you that throughout the time that you were on earth, you served. You humbled yourself. You loved us till the very end, and you still love us with such intensity. And I thank you, Lord, that you have shared with us your DNA. It's embedded in us. So, Lord, I pray. I pray for myself. I pray for my brothers and sisters here right now, God. Give us the desire to serve. Help us to see, Lord, that there's joy in serving. We don't serve. It's not a call to serve out of duty or pressure, Lord. Although we know that sometimes it needs to be done and we just go and do it, Lord. But I pray that you work in our hearts, Lord, so that we will know that it's part of who we are. And it's meant to come naturally. So I want to bless every single one of my brothers and sisters here today, Lord, that you would stir their hearts, Lord. Like we read in Hebrews 10, we are called to stir each other up, to love, to acts of love, to give, to serve. And I pray, Lord, I want to bless every single one of my brothers and sisters, Lord, that you would open their eyes, you know, just to see the need and the promptness in their heart to respond to the need. In Jesus' name, give us that desire. Give us the desire to serve. Knowing that when we serve one another, we are actually serving you. We're just responding to the love that you have for us, Lord. Yeah, I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.